Welcome to today's coffee break, everybody. I guess this week's coffee break. Ah, I've got my coffee. How's everybody doing?
Doing fine, thanks, Robbie. How are you, sir?
Very well, BP9. I see Marshman, Peter, and BP9 are joining me today. This is our first regular Sunday coffee break, and it was a mad dash to figure it, like to get in and get set up and up and running to be ready, because I'm actually at Studio E today. So how do you like that glare coming off the forehead from the skylight, eh?
Well, I got nothing. For some reason, my face is hidden in shadow. It usually is not, so I have to do something about that. Stand by.
Got to share some light there.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Hold on.
So the one thing I'm finding here at Studio E, because it's cool outside, so like the hallways in the mall are cool, but we still have all the equipment and all the lights and the skylight, so the AC unit is not equalizing to our studio, so it's quite warm in here. So if I'm actually a little bit on the moist side.
Sorry, took you for a spin there. Sorry about that.
Oh, thanks, BP9. Oh, so I got a couple of packages.
Woohoo.
And I don't mean to rub this in, dude.
I'm not looking.
Don't look. That's pretty cool, huh?
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah, you weren't looking. What else did I get? So what are you up to, Marshman?
I am tired of not being able to answer the questions about NEMS and monitoring Windows machines. So I am trying to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I feel you there. Check out what I got.
You got your Pinebook Pro. Nice.
And I got it configured the way I want it.
No way. I see you've got XFCE on there. So is this a Debian?
Yeah.
It's a Debian install?
It is.
Yeah.
It's actually Ubuntu Bionic, I believe.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yep. Yep. So it took me, I stayed up way too late last night figuring out how to make it work.
Wow. But
that's the config. You see, I've got the
good,
display on the back.
Yeah.
That's on the root window. And the only window manager that lets me do that is XFCE.
Uh-huh.
From what I can tell. So that's why I just love that display. So
that's cool. Very good, man. Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Except for the D key, it's fine.
The D key is giving you grief?
Oh, yeah. All I have to do is just graze it. It doesn't matter what distro I use. It doesn't matter
the keyboard is too sensitive or something.
Well, that key is.
Oh dear!
It's the only problem, so I may be replacing the keyboard.
I haven't looked to see if you can. I know, like on a typical laptop, you can pull off the key and adjust the like the spring mechanism. I wonder if that's worth trying.
These are chiplet keyboard. These are chiplet.
Oh yeah.
Keys.
So I don't know if they can be removed or not. Yeah.
Well, I've had the back off already to have a look at it, and it does not appear to. It looks like I have to completely disassemble the thing to get it the keyboard. So,
let us know how that goes.
yeah. Well, the first thing to do is to get another keyboard.
So, yeah, maybe. See if they'll just replace it. Replace the keyboard. That'd be good.
I should try a USB keyboard first and just make sure that that works.
Yeah.
That's a thought, isn't it?
There you go. Forget about the portability aspect and just connect it all up.
I'm just troubleshooting. Dock I'm just it. Troubleshooting there. All right then.
So, Marshman. Marshman. I feel your pain, dude. We often get questions on the NEMS forum and on the NEMS Discord, NEMS Linux, asking for Windows stuff, and I don't have a Windows test environment anymore. So you're figuring it out and figuring out how to monitor with WMI?
Yes, count your blessings. You don't have a Windows environment.
I do every day. Every freaking day.
Don't do Windows. Just don't.
You know, the fact is a lot of folks use it in business, so it makes sense for a monitoring apparatus to be able to monitor Windows systems, right? And it does.
if you got a 90%+ market share, what are you going to do? It's
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I have to like it though. It doesn't mean I have to like it.
But Mike, I commented on Discord earlier. It's like for all the problems Windows has, it can be annoyingly secure when you don't want it to be.
When you want ping to work and ICMP is being blocked. Yeah.
And everything. And I'm like, I've never had to open it up on the firewall to ping my Windows.
I know.
Now all of a sudden I have to.
Think about that for a second. Why even? So in your internal LAN, you can't by default ping your device. It just doesn't make sense.
What? You're kidding.
ICMP is blocked in the Windows firewall by default. And to enable ICMP, on LAN. So then you have to go through some... Sorry, Peter, can you mute your microphone if you're going to do that, please? You have to enable, like, printer sharing ICMP. Like, it seems like an unrelated setting in the firewall, but meanwhile it enables ping. Yeah, so if you're trying to see if your server's up, and it's not replying to pings.
Right.
Exactly.
Dumb. So how are you, where are you at right now, Bill? Is it coming along?
I've got Win 10 working with the ping and check CPU.
Cool.
I'm working on server 2016 and server 2019 right now to get those set up.
Very good.
But there's a lot of settings you got to set, and I found you have to add your NEMS user into the Windows machine.
Oh,
yeah.
So you have to create a Windows user with the same matching name.
Yes.
It's
gonna work.
And you can't simply set that in NEMS SST. Does the authentication for Windows networks work to override that?
Well, no. It's you can push it. Okay, you can put it in SST. You can put your NEMS user in there, but it goes to the Windows machine, and the Windows machine's like, I don't know who you are.
Right.
You can say who you are, but if you're not in my database, you don't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Annoyingly secure. They're learning security.
That's fair enough.
Well, that's good.
Linux box won't let you in if it doesn't know who you are.
Try to access a Samba share if your user isn't a Samba user. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Or an SSH session.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I have no problem with that. The setups are showing me that you can go into the DCOM, which is part of the WMI and the Windows machine, and there's a spot for anonymous logon. It don't work.
Oh.
It doesn't work.
So there's a spot for it, but it doesn't go.
Yeah, it's there.
That's weird.
So just to be clear, are you trying to run NEMS on a Windows instance, on a Windows machine?
No, I'm trying to monitor a Windows machine from NEMS.
Okay.
So... Now, the old, and this is where a lot of the confusion comes in, and I got confused with it as well. A lot of the services in NEMS, even though it's all there, ping and everything, it's all based on NRPE.
Yeah.
It's old, and you need to use WMI. So I think that's our biggest problem is all these users are posting, like, I'm setting it up, and it's not working. And it's like, yeah, that's because it's an old setup, and for NRPE you could get it working if you install NS client on the Windows machine and then jump through all these hoops of fire on Windows to get it to work, but that's just an old way of doing it. So
yeah, and NRPE is great for Linux, but
yeah,
tough on
what
Windows.
What is that network protocol that is allowed? It's not SMTP, that's a simple mail transfer protocol. SNMP or something.
Yeah. SNMP.
Mm-hmm. Is that even still a thing anymore?
Yeah. We've got SNMP trapping on NEMS.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, why wouldn't you use SNMP?
Windows includes WMI, so you can presumably be able to access statistics like the CPU usage, the RAM usage, the hard drive space. All that stuff is all built into WMI. That's what it's designed for, right? Okay.
Well, yeah. I've got it working on Win 10 and showing my exact disk usage.
Fantastic.
I don't think I have the parameters correct for the Windows, the CPU though, because it's right. saying it's average CPU utilization need at least 2 WMI samples. So I don't think I have that set up exactly correctly. Huh.
Okay.
But keep it's, me posted but on it's that. Talking.
That's great.
Yeah.
You got further than me because I don't even have a Windows machine. Yeah, I've been like, I'm so seriously, I've talked about it on the coffee break. I'd love to get like a 3U server chassis and put a computer in there that's really quiet. And now it's like, oh man, because if I could do that with a powerful enough server or just a desktop machine inside of a server case, then I could virtualize and create a pseudo like virtual Windows network so that I don't have to actually put Windows machines around, right? Yeah. So.
But if the aim is to be able to monitor Windows machines, mm-hmm. then you have to do what Marshman's doing over there to actually put a Windows machine on the network and point NEMs at it and, okay, what do you got?
But in a virtual machine network, I could just create a Windows machine and I don't have to start monkeying with one of my production servers or something because I don't need it. I don't need to monitor Windows systems because I don't have any. So so for me, it's just I have to be able to provide documentation to the users. So I think, Bill, everything that you're doing is going to be fantastic because you're basically doing what I don't have the capability to do.
Yeah. See, I just spun up two VMs on my server downstairs, a 2016 and a 2019. So
my server's out of space. I don't have space on my server, hard drive space. So that's my problem.
Because I run into Windows on a daily basis on my job. You know, I work with my clients.
Getting a sun.
It's getting so a darn hot. Guys, you can start to see drips.
Hey, remember when you first moved in there, Robbie, when you first got it, I said, that's going to be great. Now, whoops.
I'm contemplating.
Easy to say in winter.
Well, I only work here at nighttime. Usually.
Wintertime?
Nighttime.
Oh.
That was weird. Feedback?
Yeah, that was my fault. I'm sorry. I was trying to mute the mic.
Oh, I see.
I'll be right back.
All right. Well, that's cool, Bill. Thank you so much for taking care of that because that's something that has been lacking for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hear the frustration and the questions and I'm like, I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah. And the issue is that the service is there.
Right.
Check WMI Plus is installed and active and configured and everything and works great. But you have to know how to set it up in order to do it. And I haven't created any documentation to do that.
There's a lot of steps.
Yeah. So that's going to be great.
Yeah. Glad to do it.
Thanks, man. Yep. I got a couple of things here have arrived. Figure I'll show you guys first. What do you think that's for?
Networking for Dummies? Is that Networking for Dummies?
Did you get the high def?
Yeah, it looks like.
That's the Raspberry Pi.
A Raspberry Pi high quality camera. It's out of focus, but I'll tell you.
You were bad mouthing it for the cost.
I really should. That's it. Yeah. Did you get one?
Yeah.
Oh, there's the lens. Okay. Cool.
Which lens did you get?
I think they sent both.
Oh, they sent.
Yes, yes. Because he's a TV star now, don't you know?
They sent both. Yeah.
He's a TV star now, don't you know? So this is for evaluation only.
There we go.
I can't read it.
Do you need me to make it closer? Okay. Do you need it closer?
I can read it.
How many gigabytes of RAM is that, BP9?
20 bazillion. Yeah, it looks like 8 gigabytes.
8 gigabyte compatible software required.
With an important note that I can't read because it's
Raspberry Pi 4 8 gig compatible. But I'm going to turn that into a NEM server. I think that's going to be our NEM server here at the studio because that's going to be pretty brutally awesome for power. But it's got the Argon 1 as well. So
five volt or 12 volt.
You could put any volt into that.
Oh, okay.
Right,
okay.
Marshman.
Because
you're just taking shots.
Just any volt. Yeah. I'm
sorry, Marshman.
Not you, Robbie. You remember, Robbie? You don't have the documentation yet.
So you watch.
Yes. How about we say 5.2 volts max?
Okay.
Yes, yeah, max.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked was because Ameridroid already found a flaw in the layout of your 1U rack, server rack, because you had some 12-volt and 5-volt single board computers out there.
Yes.
And you were planning to run them all on one voltage. So you were going to make some fireworks if I...
I wouldn't make that mistake. I wouldn't make that mistake. I just physically laid them out and then realized, Bo caught that. It would have been under voltage, though, anyways.
And that was why I asked not to give Marshman a hard time.
All right. But that little guy, the 8 gig, is going to go in the Argon one, of course. And NEMS Linux compatibility. Yeah, the Argon one case. Are you familiar with that?
No.
That's a fantastic looking case. I told Robbie about it. He got it first.
Yeah.
That's parody.
But it's got an I/O that comes off the board so that all of the jacks are on the back, unlike the traditional Raspberry Pi case where you end up with some stuff on the front and the side, and so they're not really
right. Well,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
All that stuff. Yes,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, so it puts everything out the back. Yeah, and it's got a software power switch so you can program what you want it to do when you push the power button. It's going to be pretty cool. Yeah.
I went to order it from Amazon. I got the currently unavailable. We don't know if it'll ever be.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I waited and waited and waited and ordered it from China. And then the next day.
In typical Amazon style.
Well, they said they were getting it.
Yeah.
See, it's due into Amazon on the 12th of June.
Yeah.
It's due in and then they can ship. Mine's already on its way, so.
Where do you think Amazon got their got their units from? The same place you ordered it from in China.
Yeah. Well, they had them and then they went out of stock and I waited for a while and I got fed up and ordered them.
Amazon's got buying power, though, and Amazon will warehouse enough of them that the price is lower.
Right.
So it's kind of worth waiting, but it's good that you got one coming anyway. It looks like a really sleek case. You got the 8 gig Raspberry Pi?
Yes, I do.
I've heard they're having trouble with supply and demand because all of us geeks decided to buy one or multiple the day that they were released. Yeah.
For something to do while we're still in our houses, right?
So. Right.
Yeah, but and Becca made mention of it on the news this week, and one of the comments was really valid is that it looks like Raspberry Pi is actually going after the low-end desktop market, which is really interesting. I think it's still a little underpowered CPU-wise, like the SoC itself. I don't know. What do you think, Marshman? How have you found it?
That is perfect for the low-end market right there.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
This is the device. This is the one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have only been running NEMS on the 8 gig so far.
Okay, yeah.
Because we ran into a couple of snags during the week, so I that's all it's been doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I'm using the 3B Plus to do all the Windows testing.
That's cool.
Oh, and to go back to the incorrect power supply, it's funny. Now, the order I just got from Ameridroid, I ordered an XU4 and an AMC module, and I ordered a power supply for my Rock Pro,
right?
Which is a larger power supply. But Ameridroid, the shipper, they noticed that, and they sent me an email saying, "We noticed you ordered an XU4 and this larger power supply.
Oh,
this for something else because we don't want you to blow up your board." They were really
good on them. Nice. Good on them. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, "No, it's for another one. You got it. Thank you." And
good. So very good.
Then they shipped it.
Nice. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, you're not going to get that kind of service from Amazon. That's for sure.
Yeah, I love that attention to detail. That's right.
Yeah.
And gummy bears.
Fantastic.
You've got to get gummy bears, right?
Yep.
Now, why is your robot not following you around, Robbie? What's up with that?
This isn't the robot.
I know it isn't, because I've seen you walking around. and it hasn't been following you around. What's up
with that? That's the robot cam. That's a different camera.
This is a special event. Huh? Not for us riffraff on the coffee break. Right?
I'm on the A camera. What are you talking about? This is like our most expensive camera. Although I got to tone down the exposure because of my forehead under these lights.
It is a little shiny, just a little bit. Yeah, you forgot to white balance it, didn't you?
I didn't bother for coffee break. Come on now.
And just so you know, Robbie, I just got Server 2016 working.
And NEMS is seeing it?
Yep.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great. Oh, Bill, you're doing such a service for the community. Thanks, man. That's going to be great.
I just got to write up the documents. I got some screenshots. Yeah. I got to put it all together.
Awesome. Very good.
Did you see stuff I sent you on I can't see anything. I was at the Discord. Sorry about that. I mean, one of my moments ago, I think I actually built the interface. I found something that you could run IO port from Linux using Lazarus to control that port of mine that I built.
Oh yeah, this is for the sine wave modulator. Okay. Yeah.
And you could use the rest of Lazarus to use. Diagrams of the controls that you want to look at are real controls rather than just with buttons.
Neat. So you're going to have Lazarus, like a Lazarus program running presumably as like a daemon or something on a Raspberry Pi?
Yeah, that's right,
Okay.
Just run the, I tell you, I think you can compile it and then compile the code if it's running.
Neat.
In running it as a code.
Yeah. So what Peter's talking about is he showed this in our Discord. He's built a sine wave generator. You've got it with you. Just rip off your headset and throw it on the ground. Come on.
And with that, we're out of time.
Yeah. And we're off. Just let's all just go away. Let's everybody step off camera.
What's mean?
Oh, okay. So you've got the controller. Oh, yeah. Aha!
He's got glasses on. Get glasses.
Okay, so he's gonna with the Raspberry Pi. He's got four buttons on the front of this thing, and he's gonna be able to push it, and it's gonna interact with the GPIO, and then it's gonna control this circuit that he's designed to be able to create like the sine waves. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I say it's cool. It's way beyond me. It's like I'm down here. You're like up there. Yeah.
I sent you a link on Discord.
Cool.
Well, any information on Lazarus.
That's cool.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
I'm just being honest that I don't understand any of it, but I like it, and I want to learn how to do like more like my circuits are like relays. I'll do a circuit that's just a relay and an LED, and that's about that's the level that I'm at. So that's really
make
cool.
A light go on, you're golden.
I'm very proud of making lights go on. Now if I can make them go on and off and on and off on a schedule. Oh, you guys want to know what I did? remember how if you saw the feature the Q&A on MikroTik. Mm-hmm. I actually set our guest Wi-Fi to automatically turn off during non-business hours.
Nice.
So on the MikroTik, I've got it on a schedule so that the guest Wi-Fi is not on 24/7. It's only on when it should be in use. Nice. So people can't use it after hours and stuff.
So cool, that question, right? I asked you a while ago, Robbie, about running one MikroTik router and two internet modems.
Yeah.
You said that's a pretty normal
configuration. Like a failover internet. So what
Or just let it at real time pick the best path, figure out which is the best modem to use for a given.
Typically we want to say the fastest one is always the default because you don't want your IP address changing all the time. You're going to get routing problems and you're going to and then you're going to like your sessions are going to change every time the IP changes and everything. Okay. So we pick the best path. which would be the fastest internet connection.
Yeah.
And then if that one goes down, then we fail over to something like LTE or DSL, something else, so that there's a failover.
Okay, so that means there's only ever one in service at any given time.
That's my preference.
Peter, do me a favor, will you, and mute that microphone of yours.
Thank you. My preference is to have a failover, but that's because typically, I mean, internet, I've got one really good connection and the other one is like LTE at five megabits a second. So I really only want that to be so that internet never goes down, but I never want it to be my normal chain, right?
Well, you've seen it happen to me on coffee break where the internet's gone down once, twice, three times sometimes.
Right.
And then I'll switch to my regular phone.
So what you'd need to do that is you'd have to have, what's the term? I know it. And yes, MikroTik can help you with it. Bonding. You have to have an internet bond. So you have two connections that are then creating one connection, and then the router will decide where that traffic goes.
Okay.
But the problem you can run into if you're using, like, say you're using a streaming service where, like, say Netflix, where you're authenticated on the Netflix service or something, right?
Yes.
I don't know how it will react to that because it knows your IP address and where you are. And so if all of a sudden you're on a different IP address, will that affect things? Or I don't know.
And I would imagine it's session-based. So whatever the client program is, it would have established the session.
Probably.
I can't imagine it would matter. But I agree. I don't know that I want to pay for a whole new internet service and have two coming to the house just on the off chance that
I have two here, and I'm only using one.
But they're both provided by the same internet provider, aren't they?
Well, I have a cellular connection, and I have the coax. So I'm only running on the coax because I'm like, the cellular was just too slow. I didn't want to go to the effort. I might connect it, but use it as a failover. But I'd hate to be in the middle of a show and all of a sudden be at five megabits a second.
Well, that'd be brutal. Better than no millibits. Better than
Well, it could megabytes. Be. You say that, but when you're streaming 2K video, not so much.
Well, true. Yeah.
You'd rather it go down.
Yeah. So I'm trying to decide if it's worth my while to spring for another service, like cable service, because they're the only two options I have here.
How often does it go down?
Well, that's the key, right? That's the thing. It's just not often enough.
Yeah.
But it's either when I'm streaming YouTube or streaming Netflix.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen often enough. It's just enough to annoy me, but not enough to make me do anything about it. So, but I was trying to figure out if the MikroTik would help me with that. It sounds like it can, but what I thought it would do is just on the fly pick which is the best path to use. But you're right; I did not think of those other cons.
I have to look into mine because my router has that option of two WANs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But do you have two services coming in though, Marshall?
I have to look at it.
So you look at a MikroTik, if it has five ports, you can actually set what each of those ports are. So it comes by default as port one as your WAN port, but you could set three of them as WAN ports.
Oh.
And then you can bridge them.
Yeah.
And you can create a bonded network, but that's beyond anything I've ever done. I just have done failover so that if the first, you know, I prioritize the first one as the best one. So if it ever goes down, move to the second one. And then if the first one comes back up, move back to the first one.
Which would work. But again, as you say, even Zoom might get cranky.
It might. Yeah. You're going to have that hiccup as you change services. Yeah. It'll be momentary,
case,
but.
Yeah. Worst case, my outages are usually just a few minutes. They don't often, they're not often longer than that. Not enough that I would just shut it off and be done with it. But it's the frequency of the outages that is what gets me. That time when I was when I got knocked off three times off of Zoom, I'm done with this. And I fired up my phone as a hotspot and used it instead.
Right. So think
and
about
it's been
this.
Rock steady ever since.
As a final thought, then you set your phone as a hotspot and then you create a Wi-Fi connection from your MikroTik to your Wi-Fi hotspot on your phone. Okay. And then you share that as a bridge to your network. So now you're
messing with my head.
Now your LAN can connect through your cell phone's connection. And in fact, that's a great way to be able to extend your Wi-Fi in the house too. You just stick a cheap Microtik up in the top floor, and all of a sudden you've extended your Wi-Fi and just using Microtik devices. Well, so
yeah, my router is on the top.
Or you pay $1,000 a month and get satellite.
There you go.
Is that?
That's
I
the answer.
Do that too.
Or 10,000, you can have fiber, gigabit fiber. There you go. Well, guys, that's all the time that we have for our coffee break today. I think we'll try Sunday again next week if this has worked for you guys. It's close to working for me. I've got to figure out kind of my schedule completely. Once we lock it down, then it'll become a regular routine, kind of like the normal show, which is always live Wednesdays, 7 p.m. sharp, right? Yes. I'll see you Wednesday. I don't know what time. I'll be here, but I'll see you guys. Take care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.